I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you, withholding nothing, withholding nothing.
Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap. I'm going to tell you, I sing that song because that's an anthem. It's my new anthem. You know, tonight I want to talk to you about something. And the title, I want you to check this title out. It's called Watch Your Head. Watch Your Head. How was everybody's Christmas? It's good? You look good. Everybody look all fresh. Fresh gear on and all that. All right. You know what? I had a good time this Christmas, too. I spent Christmas with my family, and it was real good. It was simple, but it was good. And, you know, I read something Christmas morning, and it kind of changed my perspective. Because during Christmas time, it's easy to get caught up with the gift giving and the receiving. And sometimes we look more about the receiving than the giving. You know, and just keeping it real. And I read something. I'm not going to share that with you because it's a little too much, but it just changed my perspective. And I'm so grateful to God for not just for this season, but what this season really means, what it's really about Jesus. And I thank God for that. Today, I have an important word. I'm going to ask that you give me your full attention tonight. We prayed prior to the service. Lisa said it, that the workers get together and there's a time of prayer, and you have already experienced the presence of God because he's here. And because he's here, he wants to speak to you tonight. And the title again is called Watch Your Head. And I'm going to tell you why. Some of you, I kind of shared it here and there with a few people, but I want to share this with you as a congregation, because I believe that this word is for you. When I went to Colombia in April, when I left here, I had a dream. Now, first, I want to clear up something. God don't always speak to people in dreams, but oftentimes he will speak to me that way. Okay? I want to be clarified. I want to be clear with that. But in this dream, on my way to Colombia, there was a young man screaming in the dream, and he was yelling with a loud voice. And in this dream, I was talking to my brother, who happens to be here tonight, and so I really want you to pay attention to this, Chu. We heard some gunshots as this young man was screaming. And so what we did, we just ran towards the gunshots. I don't know why, but we ran towards the gunshots. And as we got closer, we saw this young man running out of the building, and we saw a grown man behind him with a gun in his hand, and he was shooting the young man in his head. Blah, 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 repeatedly, over and over and over again. But the young man didn't go down. He didn't hit the floor. He didn't fall. He just kept running, but he was screaming at the top of his lungs. And in this dream, me and my brother, we continued to chase after the man who was shooting this young man. And then I woke up, and immediately I said, Lord, what in the world kind of dream is this? Like, what's going through my mind? And two things stuck out to me during this dream to let me know that this dream was just not a regular dream. One of the things that stuck out was that I don't care where you come from, nobody chases a man with a gun and you ain't got one. So I said, okay, Lord, this is not normal. The second thing was this young man. See, I know this from personal experience, that you could shoot a man in the body repeatedly. And I say that because I got shot in my chest twice. And God is able to keep you. God is able to do all things. But I know that when you hit a man in the body, it's a possibility, if you hit him more than once, he can live. But there's no way that you're going to hit a man in the head repeatedly, shoot him repeatedly, and he don't go down and hit the floor. It ain't happening. I never heard of nothing like that. And so I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? And one of the things God began to speak to me, he said, Derek, this is how the devil is going after this generation. Shoot you in the head with the lies. The lies of the devil. And I'm going to tell you something. See, something about the lies of the devil. Not one of us that's sitting in this room is exempt from them. None of us are exempt. We are all susceptible to the lies of the devil. And that's how he plans or intends to take you out. You see, again, when a man shoots for the body, he might just be trying to stop you, slow you down, tell you to fall back. But when he goes for your head, he's going for your life. Everybody knows that. When you aim for the head, you aiming to take him out of here. And that's what the devil's plan is. Now, I want to tell you something. Some of us have had some experiences in our lives. We've had different experiences, all of us. We come from different stages of life, different ethnic groups, different cultures, and we've all experienced different things in our life. And throughout some of these experiences, the devil began to speak to you and tell you, of course, they all lies. He tells you, because you got molested and you may have not enjoyed the experience, but something happened that you liked. And then all of a sudden, the lies of the devil begin to tell you that you like a man or a woman because you like the experience. And oftentimes we begin to bite the lie. We begin to believe the lie. There's not one original homosexual or lesbian in this room. We got men and women of God. It's a lie. Some of the different experiences that we had, he tells you to lie. He tells you, you soft. You're not going to be nothing. If your father don't love you, then who's going to love you? You feel like you're the black sheep. You feel like everything comes to you. You feel like you marked or you cursed. But you're not. You're blessed. See, I'm going to tell you something that I know. Here's what happened to me. See, I know these lies of the devil are real. And I know that these lies are meant to take you out. It's meant to cripple you. See, he don't mind you to sit up in here and sit like this and hold your Bible and all that. Because as long as you grab a hold of one of those lies, he knows that you're not going to be effective for the kingdom of God. There are many of us that's sitting up in this room and we ain't free. We ain't free. There's a measure of freedom. But we ain't free because we still bound by the lies of the devil who's telling us you're not like them. This is not for you. This ain't real. God doesn't love you. And I'm going to tell you a story. And this is a real life story. First, when I got shot, let me tell you the story about how I got shot. Because the devil is a liar. And I thank God. I thank God for who he is. I thank God for the purposes and the plans that he has for my life. Because I'm here now because of that. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you how I got shot. I moved on my block, right? And what I did is I started selling drugs. I set up shop and I started selling drugs. And, you know, people were sending messages to me. So I thought. They want to find out, who's this new dude on the block? Who's taking this money? And so some people that was working for me began to tell me about this one particular gentleman that was sending me death threats. And so when I was a young boy, My father always told me, he said, if you found out that somebody was looking for you, Derek, he said, you don't wait for them, you go find them. And so that's what I did. I heard this dude was sending death threats to me, so I went looking for him. And you know what I did? I taunted him. I used to run up on him. He ain't want nothing. But because he ain't want nothing, and I wanted to make a name for myself, I began to believe the lie of the devil that thought I was untouchable. I kept taunting him, and I put the pressure on him. And I remember one day he was coming out the building with his wife and his son, and I put the pressure on him hard. I mean hard in front of his wife and his son. And you know what he said? He looked at me, and he said, I'll be right back. Because I left him no room for nothing else. You got to do something. So he came back. And when he came back with two of them, two people, and I'm looking at them. You know how we do, dudes. We size people up. We see them a mile away, and we already two-pieced you. Like, yeah, all right. You know what I'm saying? I'm just keeping it real with you. That's what we do. So I watched them coming up the block, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to try these dudes, man. Thought I was nice with my knuckle game, like most of us. Think we nice. But anyway, we get to rumbling a little bit. Boop, boop, boop. Doing my thing for a minute until one of them got on my neck. He had me in the yoke from the back. And so I flipped him over on the floor and I hit him, boom, boom. But the second time I hit him, there was a girl coming out the building with an orange hoodie on. She had the gun. She had her hands in her pocket. And the dude that was standing in front of me, she passed him the gun. And then when I hit him the second time, I looked up and right in front of me is standing that gun. And then he fires two times, bow, bow. And he hits me in my chest. One bullet went in, came out my back. The other bullet went in, ruptured, caused my lungs to collapse, ruptured my bladder, and I always say my spleen, and my wife be like, something else. Whatever that thing is, it ruptured it. But I'm saying all of this. I'm going to tell you the testimony of it is that me and that gentleman are friends. We are more than friends. We are good friends. And it's not because it's a soft thing. It's not because it's a son thing. Because he know we done been there back and forth. We done been there a few times after that. But I'm saying all this to say this. We talk now. And about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were talking about this same incident. And we was talking about the plans that we had for each other. How he was looking for me. How I'm looking for him. How I'm rolling up on his family's crib. Ducking. Scheming. Same thing him doing for me. And then he looked at me and he said, Derek, he started crying. And he said, Derek, you ain't gonna believe this, man. He said, I know you never heard this. He said, but I never said a word, man. I never said a word about you. He said, it was your man. He had beef with me. And so he told you a lie. And let me tell you something. I bit that lie. You know what the devil tried to do? He tried to kill me. He meant to kill me. But I'm going to tell you something that God told me. When I went to Columbia, I went there, and I'm going to keep it real with y'all. I wanted to preach. I had stuff ready. I was like, yeah, let's go, Lord. I felt like God had given me a word, and I was ready. But you know what God did? He kept making me share my testimony. And I keep sharing my testimony, but sharing my testimony, I started going to all of these dark spots that I never wanted to deal with. All these dark areas that I never accredited to God. But you know what God began to show me as I went there every time? He showed me how he was there. That it was him who was protecting me. It was him who was preserving me. It was him who was preparing me for right now. But it's the lies, people. They meant to take you out. And I'm going to tell you, you know, as I'm sitting here, this is like a bug out, but I'm looking at you and I'm almost can see, like, you see those captions in the cartoons? People are sitting there and it's like this caption. And I'm wondering what the lie is. What would be written in that caption over your head? What would be in that caption? What would that lie be that you grabbed a hold of? And now you're nurturing it. All the insecurities. Man, I know more than anybody I walked under that for years, and now I'm free. I'm free. See, let me tell you something, people. Man, Lord. For a lot of years, I've been in a box. I've been in a little box. And I've been in this box because this box was made by me. I put myself in that box, believing the lies of the devil. You see, sometimes we walk and we come into this relationship with God. And if we're not careful, you know what we do? We start looking at the people around us. And then we start measuring up. And then the next thing you know, we see a measure of the Holy Spirit on them that we want. And so we start trying to imitate that thing. And it's sincere because you want God. But we're not letting God be God to us. We're trying to walk in another man's anointing. But you know what? Here go my box. Get up out of here. I'm out the box. This is who I am. And I'm not afraid. That's what the Bible says in Psalms 139. He says, before I was even in my mother's womb, he knew me. He knew exactly the words that was going to come out of my mouth tonight. He knew exactly how I'm going to talk. He knew all my mannerisms. He knows all that. And you know what? He still set me apart. Still set me apart in spite of who I am. And you know what? On behalf of that, that's why I'm free. And tonight, God wants to set you free. Every last one of you in here, he wants to make you free. You see? Because you are who you are in him, not who you are in you. It's who you are in him. Listen, this is 2013. You know what? We done been through what we've been through. We done went where we went. But we're going to go out with a bang. We're going to go out with a bang. And 2014 is going to even bang even louder. That's what it's going to be. Because we're going to believe him. We're going to walk free in this peace. Listen, I'm not angry. No, I'm not angry. This is what freedom sounds like. This is what it sounds like. And I'm going to tell you something. See, each of us, we're sitting here tonight, and we may not realize that we are soldiers. We are soldiers, every last one of us. You don't got on no camouflage, but you a soldier. See, in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it begins to describe the soldier's uniform, so to speak. All right? How many of y'all are familiar with that? The soldier's armor. And let me tell you something. Every part of that armor is important. Not one of that piece, part of the armor you can go, nah, I'm good. Nah, you need that. You need every last piece. But let me tell you something. Tonight, I just want to talk to you about this one particular part of the armor, which is the helmet of salvation. We got to put that on. Bam! We got to put that on, the helmet of salvation. And you know what it is? Sometimes we try to get all, I don't want to say spiritual, that's not the word, because we are spiritual. But sometimes we get all big about it. It's simply this. You put on the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is simply this. The assurance that you belong to him. It's the assurance that you belong to him. It's the assurance that he has a plan for good for you and not for evil. It's the assurance that he has called you. He's called you and he's chosen you to be one of this nation's deliverers. It's just as simple as that. That's the assurance. But listen, see, because I don't know the time, but that's all good. I know the Lord is with me. Lou, help me out. All right. You know, I'm just keeping it real. Listen, 2 weeks ago, we heard a profound, it was simple, but yet so profound, that word we heard. The speaker simply talked about the necessity of getting in the Word of God. The necessity of knowing that thing, like eating the whole scroll, the necessity of it. He talked about that. And as I began to read Ephesians chapter 6, and you know, God is talking to me about the helmet, but I looked, it says, and put on the helmet of salvation. And then, if I'm not mistaken, in my Bible, which is the New Living Translation, it has a comma. It says, put on the helmet of salvation, comma, which means, hold up, you ain't finished yet. And then it says, I love this, and it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's how we're going to defend ourselves against this devil, this enemy. We're going to get into the word of God. We're going to eat that thing up. And guess what? When he rolls us up on us with a lie, we're just going to go like this. It's written. It's written. Yo, you know what's crazy? I'm going to tell you, I'm a little bit excited. But I looked up this sword. I checked out the sword of a soldier, a Roman soldier. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking long sword because I want to be able to chop you from deep. But here's the funny thing. The Roman soldier's sword was about 2 feet long. You know what that means? You got to be up on somebody, poke them. Ain't none of that, I'm out. You got to be in the fight. Whole lot. And it's as simple as that. See, just like Jesus in the wilderness, when he was confronted with the temptations of the devil, he didn't come out with this long, drawn out. He just said, it is written. Nice and short. Hold that. Now get up out of here. And that's how we're going to do it. Lou, I don't know where I'm at, but I'm going to stop right here. Because I believe that the message has been sent. But let's give it to God. Let's give that to God. Give that to God. Give the glory to God. He's worthy. Now listen, here go the real part now. See, we can listen to stories all day long. But none of this stuff don't mean nothing unless you respond. Bottom line, unless you respond. Now I'm going to tell you this. I'm not looking for 1,000 people to come up here. That's your business. See, I'm good. I delivered the message. My job is over. But your job now, when the word of God comes, you respond. Because it's simply an invitation. See, God is about to do something. You know, I tell you this. As Christians, and in this world that we live in, Lisa talked about that basketball team. And I don't know if y'all know anything about basketball, but I feel like we're living in the fourth quarter. And I'm going to tell you something else. We might not get no overtime. And so we got to play for keeps, and we got to play hard. We got to play for real because this is for our life. And so tonight, the invitation is simply this. If you know that God has spoken to you tonight, if you know it, because he knows, if you know that, I want to invite you to come up here tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to pray. Pray and simply believe God. God is going to set you free tonight. And he's going to make you that man or woman of God that he intends you to be. And we sing this song often, Break Every Chain. God is going to break every chain. He's going to break every chain, but only if you respond to him. Otherwise, it don't make no sense. And on that note, I'm going to ask that the worship team come. And we're going to begin to sing. But as they worship, I want you to respond to God if he's spoken to you. Because he's only inviting you to join him in what he's about to do. And he's about to turn this city, ultimately this world, upside down. And he's going to start with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus, Jesus. Create a hunger and a thirst in us, Lord. A hunger and a thirst to get into your word, Lord. We want to eat the whole scroll, God. Oh, Jesus. Create it in us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. Create in us a clean heart and a right spirit within us, Lord. Lord, I thank you for these that are here tonight. Lord, I thank you that you've enabled them to hear your voice calling them, God. Lord, you're calling them to intimacy, God. Lord, to spend time with you, to know your heart, to know your ways, God, to know your purposes, God. Lord, you told Daniel the very moment that he set his heart to seek after you, Lord, that his prayers was answered. Lord, and I pray that for each of these that are standing here tonight. Because they have set their heart to seek after you, Lord, that you would answer their prayers, God. Lord, and that you would give them everything that they need. Let them not lack not one thing. Father, this is your intentions for us. Lord, that we be free. You said, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's give God a hand clap. Let's give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Listen, don't go nowhere. I want to read to you all of the scriptures. I love them all. They're like honey on my lips. I love that song too. But this particular Psalms is so personal. It just makes it all clear. It makes it simple. God says this in Psalms 139. The scripture says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. He knows everything that you're thinking. And he already understands. He searched you. He knows everything about you. It's nothing to hide. Who are we hiding from? Here's what he says. He says, thou compassest my path and my laying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. The Spirit of the living God, he goes before you. He's behind you. He got your back. And then he lays his hands on your head. It's the hand of blessing. God has a plan for good for you. We got to believe it, people. Amen. And then he says this. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from that spirit? Or whither shall I flee from that presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. God is everywhere when we're having good days and bad days. He doesn't care. He wants your heart. It's your heart, not your performance. It's not walking around here like this and that. It's your heart. He wants that. You see, we as humans, we look at the outward things. We're looking at how a person walks, how he talks. We're looking at how he dresses. But God is looking at our hearts, and he wants your heart, people. Amen. He wants that. And he says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there, thy hand shall lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. I'm going to stop right there. When you get time, you go to Psalms 139. Read the whole thing. And I'm going to tell you what, take it personal. See, when I read that, I was talking to God.
Amen.
And God is going to speak to you.
Hallelujah.
All this time, every circumstance, every situation, God has been molding you. He's making you. He don't plan all of these things, these bad things. But God will turn everything that the devil meant for evil, he'll turn it around for good.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Let's give God a hand clap. And then I just want to pray for you, and I'm going to turn it back over. Father, I thank you for these. God, I thank you for the great and the mighty work that you are doing. Lord, it's true, God. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Lord, you do love us, God, each of us, every last one of them, with an everlasting love. God, and it's true, God, you have called each of us, God, to become and to be one of this nation's deliverers.
Amen.
God, and I pray that tonight that you would quicken each of us, God, by your Holy Spirit, that you would give us a greater measure of faith that we might believe you. Lord, you said this, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Give us a hunger and a thirst to get in your word.
Amen.
Lord, help us, God. God, as we read your word, God, we ask you, God, that you would change us from the inside out. Lord, and use these for your glory. Use them for your glory. Honor your name in each and every life that is here. Honor your name, Lord. And Lord, we have this assurance. You said that if we ask you anything according to your will, that you hear us.
Amen.
And if we believe that you hear us, then we already have the petitions that we desire of you.
Amen.
So we say thank you. Let's say thank you to God tonight. Say thank you with a loud voice. Say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.